Today on Seculo, the FBI director before the Senate Judiciary Committee facing a grilling over the FBI's politicization and overreach.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
If the FBI is going to open an investigation, you have to do it the right way. It appears that the right way was not done.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
Director Ray, you'll have to explain to the committee and to the country how you'll manage this mess and how you'll clean house.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
That's Senator Chuck Grassley of the Judiciary Committee. As we're on the air right now, Christopher Wray, the FBI director, is testifying. He's getting a lot of questions and pressure on the FBI's decision-making involving Hunter Biden, classifying that as disinformation, the laptop. We have two named FBI agents now in Washington, D.C., one who is the head of the FBI's Washington, D.C. Field office. So again, having issues. That's where Andy McCabe came from as well, with the Washington, D.C., overly politicized FBI, which is a separate office from the main headquarters of the FBI in Washington, D.C., but it's the one that works most closely with, as we talk about, like the seventh floor. Also pressured on the violence at pro-life pregnancy centers, CPCs, that we saw, we've been reporting on this broadcast, and we've been representing these pro-life pregnancy centers as they face those groups like Jane's Revenge. That violence continues, whether it is arson, whether it's Molotov cocktails, whether it is graffiti. And the comparison, you even saw some of the Democrat senators try to say, well, what about violence at abortion clinics? They said, you know, that we've seen that issue, but there is a huge uptick in the violence at pro-life pregnancy centers. But again, this idea, we are still dealing with an overly politicized FBI. So whether it comes to the way they treat certain criminals, so people who've committed crimes, but the treatment is not the same, whether it is who they decide to go after, we're going to talk about all of that. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But I'll go right to Andy. We saw Andy, whistleblowers who came out who have said they are purging the FBI of conservatives right now.
Yeah, well, I believe that's true. The FBI has become a political organization. When I was in the United States Attorney's Office in Atlanta, the one thing that you could always count on was that the FBI was going to give you a fair shake, regardless of whether you were a liberal, a Democrat, a Republican, a conservative, or whatever. We never had any question that it was a premier law enforcement agency dedicated to ferreting out federal crimes and assisting local law enforcement. That, unfortunately, has evolved not to be the case. It's padding its domestic violent extremist data, cheapening the examples of violent extremism, calling domestic terrorists people who should never be put in that category. And yes, the politicization to the detriment of the FBI is occurring, and it's occurring on a wide scheme basis. The concern that I have is if you're a conservative FBI agent, you are being purged and you are not being given the right to pursue the evidence where it leads, and you are being told that things are as they are not. In other words, the FBI is a political tool of the Justice Department and, derivatively, of the Biden administration. That should not be the case.
I mean, we now know. We know it's Timothy Thibault who ordered close, quote, an avenue of additional derogatory Hunter Biden reporting in October of 2020. So it's all election year focused, political focused. And then when we get towards another election, which we are right now, and we're starting to get past the primary season almost, what do? They start, again, trying to use the executive branch and law enforcement agencies to assist their political agenda. That's the worst of the worst in Washington, is using law enforcement for politics. I want to take your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. Do you trust these institutions anymore? I think it's a big question, but do you trust the FBI? Or do you think it's just been overrun by politics? I want to take your calls on that. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Seculo.
Welcome
just having to answer questions directly today from the Senate Judiciary Committee. As we know, there have been whistleblowers that have come forward to Senator Grassley, to Congressman Jim Jordan, who have notified the Director Ray of the issues that these whistleblowers are coming forward. And these are people, again, they're not leaking to the media. This is going through the process you're supposed to, which is going to the congressional offices. They're able to report the information but keep themselves anonymous. They're inside the FBI. And they're saying, look, they're padding numbers when it comes to domestic violent extremism. And I think we all know when it's the Biden administration and the elected political branch of the executive branch talking about domestic violent extremism, they aren't talking about the attacks on the pro-life pregnancy centers. To them, it's become, I think, a political term to mean anything that's involved with the politics of the right. And the FBI whistleblowers are saying, listen, we're going through our crimes, federal crimes, and we're being told, find a connection. And of course, criminals may have made a political statement at some point. It doesn't mean that the crime was connected to the political statement. So we're seeing that issue. But I want to play this from Senator Grassley, because he kind of introed the meeting. They're not just asking questions. They have FBI officials coming to their office saying, we're being purged, is the word used. We're being purged out of the FBI, conservatives out of the FBI. Take a listen to Senator Grassley as this hearing opened today.
As just one example, to make my concern clear, in October 2020, an avenue of reporting on Hunter Biden was ordered closed. That Hunter Biden information related to potential criminal activity. According to whistleblowers, the reporting was either verified or verifiable via criminal search warrants. But it was shut down on the basis of it being at risk of disinformation.
So again, we hear the disinformation term, Logan. We know that the laptop is real. That was told. We were told it was fake. And if you talked about it, you were flagged on all the social media accounts. You were shut down from the media accounts. But of course, the Steele dossier, you can still tweet all you want about that.
We saw this happen a lot. We saw a lot of topics that come up. Then when they first were initially brought up, they were flagged as disinformation, flagged as fake news, and all of those things that would happen. And then 6 months, a year later, all of a sudden, they're fact, or all of a sudden, they're at least a discussion point. We've heard about that with the origins of COVID, some of the side effects of things that have happened. Literally, the conversation was blocked off until the New York Times decided, we'd like to do an article on this. And then all of a sudden it was fair game. Those are the things that we've seen happen. And sure, you need to be able to make sure that what you're hearing is fact and is true. But we know that the fact checkers and the people that say this don't exactly know what they're doing. We've had this happen maybe on the platform you're watching right now for a lot of you, where they'll come and they'll try to fact check a case that we're doing. And then we have to provide them with the legal documentation and then they always back off, but the damage is already done. This is what happens with not just the news, not just with what's happening in Washington, but the world around us right now, where this idea of dis and misinformation kind of permeates culture, and it permeates now, obviously, Capitol Hill.
Yeah, and it seems like the idea from FBI leadership, especially the step below Director Ray, who I never thought has had a full handle on this agency, and the problems with the agency, is Andy, the idea that your politics would even come into discussion or play is inappropriate for the FBI. The fact that they're saying we're purging out conservatives, they shouldn't even be, it shouldn't matter anybody's politics there. They should be trusted law enforcement agents, especially at the federal level.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Look, the law enforcement agents at the FBI that I worked with in the U.S. Attorney's Office were the finest group of law enforcement agencies. And I must also say, those that I worked with 20 years ago, whenever it was with the IRS were. That's not the case now. The politicization of these departments has permeated them. You now ask their political views. You ask whether they're liberals or conservatives, what they think of this, that, and the other, instead of looking at the statutes and deciding whether a crime has been committed under Title 18 or Title 26, depending on where you are. That is not the case anymore. The conservative conservative or liberal stand viewpoint of an agent should have nothing to do with that agent, woman or man, investigating a criminal case, whatever that criminal case should be. Unfortunately, I see that. I see that happening continuously. It is no longer the case, Jordan.
No, and I think, again, we want to take your phone calls. It's 1-800-684-3110. Because ultimately here for these, whether we talk about the IRS yesterday, the FBI today, they all have law enforcement components. Obviously, the FBI, that is their main component. But the idea that if you lose the American people's trust, you can't be an effective organization. I mean, because whether you're being correct or not, people won't turn it all into politics. I think, Logan, that's the biggest fear, is that if law enforcement, which we saw happen with the IRS to some extent, even more than a decade ago with the Tea Party groups, but if American people see these institutions as overly, totally politicized, then even when they are trying to do something good, they won't get the credit for that, nor should they, because this is all self-inflicted.
Yeah, and look, we're 2 years, not even 2 years into this presidential term, in this administration. It takes time for corruption to, veer its ugly head. And now it's starting to happen. This is what happened with the Tea Party movements. It took a little bit of time till all of the stuff was uncovered. And gosh, it took a lot of time until people were brought to justice over it. But when you really look at it, you go, okay, so we're only 18 months in, not even, to this. I mean, it feels like it's been a decade, but it has only been a year and a half of a presidency, even though we're all already talking about 2024, which is wild to really, start thinking about. This is what's happening, is that you are seeing now the shifts that started happening 16 months ago, now they're starting to appear to the American people.
Yeah, and I think this is we're right on, we can see this pattern over and over again on the left, is when they are in charge, when they're fully in charge, they've got their people in place.
Yep.
You get close to a midterm election, which we are now, you get past the primary process, which we're starting to be almost, by the end of the next couple of weeks. And then suddenly, all of their attention goes on, how do we make the right look bad? Whether or not they bring any actual charges, whether or not they actually prosecute anybody. But the idea is make them out to be the enemy. And again, you can have your own personal politics, and you can believe the other side as you want to is the enemy. But you should not be in those positions of power at the FBI if you can't take your politics out of your decision-making process. And that's their number one job of all federal employees should be, how do I, putting my politics aside best as possible all of the time, always trying to work against the bias. I mean, the bias is there, Andy. We all know that as human beings. So you have to set the tone that this is inappropriate and wrong. I don't know why we're having to have this discussion in 2022 still about these agencies of the federal government and without thinking. Again, if half the country doesn't trust your organization, it puts law enforcement in serious jeopardy too.
Well, it really does. And Christopher Wray, who I knew from Atlanta when he was working in a law firm in Atlanta, I've known him a long time, and I agree that I don't think Chris Wray has gotten a handle on this entire situation yet. The FBI, I agree with Jim Jordan, Congressman Jordan, in his letter to Director Wray, is focused on classifying investigations to meet a woke left-wing agenda. That, I'm afraid, folks, is fact. Jim Jordan is not wrong on that. I know a lot of people don't like him. They think he's too one way or too the other way, whatever the situation may be. But the reality is that we are now classifying investigations as to whether they meet a left-wing criteria. And if so, they're going to go forward. If not, they're going to be squelched. That's not what the Justice Department was designed to do. It's not what it did when I was in the U.S. Attorney's Office. It should never be that case. But right now it is, and Congressman Jordan is correct.
Yeah, and what we do know as well is, here's one of the examples. When Christopher Wray is asked about, we'll play as we come back from the break, he's asked about the violence at the pro-life pregnancy centers, the uptick in violence. He is honest about it. But then you put this into the bigger context of, but would you trust them to do anything about it? It's one thing to acknowledge that it's a problem. It's another to say, are you using federal laws to actually try and assist state and local governments to potentially bring federal charges against whoever is conspiring to burn down pro-life pregnancy centers? or making threats on the employees of those pro-life practitioners? Because we know that if you were making those threats against an abortion clinic, the FBI would be at your door once they figured it out. I mean, that's just historically. And they should be if you're making violent threats about someone. But you've got to, it's got to be both. So if you're the person firebombing the pro-life pregnancy center, they should, you should have a no-knock warrant at your door too. You should be woken out of bed at 4 in the morning. We should be hearing about those stories about abortion activists who have engaged in violence being treated the same way as pro-life activists who may be engaged in violence or the threat of violence. And if everybody was being treated the same way, we wouldn't even be talking about it right now. But the honest truth is he could not, even in those questions acknowledging it, which is great, what, that's wonderful. We've all seen the news. That doesn't take anybody special at the FBI to see. It's, why aren't you bringing federal charges against them? I don't know. They never know. 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call. That's 1-800-684-3110. Do you think the FBI would treat you fairly? All right, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're going to get your phones in just a minute. But I wanted to play this. Senator Mike Lee brought up the violence at pro-life pregnancy centers. And listen, the FBI acknowledges it, but it doesn't take anything special because these have all been reported in the news. The bigger question is there any federal angle going on, right? Like, are they taking it? Because there's lots of laws on the books that they could bring. But like, we're not hearing about mass arrest of liberal activists who are violent activists. Why not? I guarantee you, if you were someone who made a threat against an abortion clinic, the moment they knew that, the FBI would be at your door. Rightfully so, but it's got to be on. You've got to bid and treat the same person who's making that threat against the pro-life pregnancy center the same way. I mean, so with all the cameras and with all the information, with all the law enforcement, you don't really see the FBI holding press conferences outside of pro-life pregnancy centers. But let's go to Senator Mike Lee. Take a listen. First, acknowledging that this is an uptick, that this is a real issue.
How many domestic terrorism investigations does the FBI currently have open under the category of abortion-related violent extremism?
I don't have the exact number, but I can tell you that we have opened a number of domestic violent extremism investigations using our joint terrorism task forces that are specifically focused on attacks or threats against churches, pro-life organizations, pregnancy resource centers, similar types of organizations, including, for example, I know off the top of my head, we have one, in Senator Grassley's home state of Iowa, in Des Moines. We have one in Senator Blackburn's state of Tennessee. I think we have one in Senator Tillis's state in North Carolina.
So again, all of that you would know from the news. You don't have to be an FBI. Now, he did say that they have some kind of investigations going on, but we've seen these attacks over months, and I don't see hear any news about anyone being arrested at all. And these don't seem like they would not be that difficult to figure out. If you attack a pro-life pregnancy center in upstate New York, it can't be that difficult to figure out who conducted those activities, because you're going to know who the activists are.
Yes.
And you're going to know who the nut activists are.
Yes.
And you're going to know who the potential people that would actually take, the step of violence, which is two steps further.
I think that was an inadequate response to Senator Lee's question, and I'm surprised at Chris Ray for not having been on top of that. You know, when these centers are attacked, when the churches and the pro-life organizations and the pregnancy centers and similar type of organizations are being attacked, you know the local FBI office in that area knows exactly who the activists are who are engaging in these activities. Where are the arrests? Where are the search warrants at their houses? Where is law enforcement? Where are those people who should be charged with enforcing the laws and real domestic terrorism against people who attack these pro-life centers? Where are they? And don't tell me that the local FBI doesn't have a list, because I know they do, of who the problems are and where they are, and that they should be arrested and brought to justice. It's just a woke left-wing organization nowadays, and that's not on the agenda. That's not what President Biden said is the agenda. That certainly is not what Merrick Garland sets as the agenda, and it's not going to seep down into the ranks.
I mean, when you file these lawsuits like they did against Idaho, and you're saying that these state legislatures, they're violating people's constitutional rights, except for the Supreme Court just said there's not a constitutional right there. But you're also part of that is also demonizing one side of the issue. Now, you can expect that from maybe political appointees, but should you expect that from an entire agency of government? I want to go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Richard in New York on line one. Hey, Richard.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show. As far as the FBI being a political organization, I'm old enough to remember when news was news and things hadn't been changed. I remember Hoover was blackmailing members of government because he used the FBI as an organization to collect information on who they could blackmail and who they couldn't. I remember them coming out with news stories about radicals in the 60s and about the Civil Rights Organization, how some of the members of that, Malcolm X and people like that, who they weren't involved in the, but they made up whatever stories they needed to make up to get by.
Well, I think that there's always been human beings with power, you have to fight those biases constantly. The FBI has not had the great history. I agree with you, Richard. I mean, if you actually look at its history from, the 19, you're talking about 50s, 60s, now, see where they started. First, it was politics against politics. That's one thing. So it's politicians in Washington and fighting in politicians in Washington each other. But now the American people are being treated that way. You, as you talked about, like some of the civil rights movement, you saw that targeted at some of the leaders. I think what it's gone to is this bigger issue where it's not just like one or two people. It's entire swaths of the country that have become the enemy to the FBI, Logan. And I think if they come into it looking at all the people on that side of the aisle are bad, and it's not about just playing politics with the politicians, it's not about the leaders.
It's with everybody.
In fact, it seems like it's just average folks.
Yeah, and that becomes a really big problem, and it becomes something that no one really wants to see. And even if you're on the far left, you may think that's what you want to see, but you know if the tables got turned on you, you would feel the same way. So this is where we need to actually have some sort of unification and say this is too far. You can't go in and start targeting people individually just because of their political beliefs. This is not how we work here, even if you think the person's political beliefs are utterly wrong. You're not talking about people who are violent. Because if it's people who are extreme and violent, as you said, sure, you take care of that. You actually do investigation. Things happen. But when it goes on this much bigger just politicization, we open up a can of worms. I can't imagine. I can't imagine because sadly, I don't feel like they think far enough ahead. I don't think anyone thinks far enough ahead. It's like the idea of court packing the Supreme Court. I don't feel like they think far enough ahead. It goes, well, what if this turns on us in 2 years? That is the stuff that really bothers me when it comes to specifically it seems like the left. You know, it's like when you have a Deborah Messing saying, I did everything I can for Joe Biden and you still let Roe versus Wade get overturned. It's like you have a fundamental misunderstanding of how this country works. Right. And this is the big problem.
Let me go. I want to play this too, because there was a follow-up from Mike Lee to Director Ray. Then, okay, if you know that these are, do you have threat tags for these people like you did parents at school board meetings? Take a listen.
Considering the large number of churches and abortion centers that have been firebombed and otherwise attacked, has a tag threat been created for investigations associated with those attacks?
I am sure that we have threat tags related to this. I don't know what the threat tags are. I will say this. We put out, when the opinion first leaked, we put out a directive to all of our field offices to be looking actively for potential threats of the very sort you're talking about. And I want to be crystal clear on this. From our perspective, I don't care what side of the issue you're on. I don't care who you're upset with or what you're upset about on an abortion or anything else. You don't get to use violence or threats of violence to act on it. And we're going to go after that conduct aggressively.
That's all wonderful. I haven't seen any evidence of that yet. It's a lot. It's just talking the right way. But, you know, where are these prosecutors? Where are the arrests? Where are the people being perp walked? Why aren't we watching that on TV? Or why aren't they leaking it to the Fox News so they can get the cameras outside of their homes before they raid them? And we're not seeing that. The liberal activists, they continue their attacks it's ongoing. The violence, the threats, the Molotov cocktails that Christopher Ray talks about. But where are they? We'll be right back on Secular.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, it's 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me play Senator Ted Cruz. Again, member of the Judiciary Committee, Christopher Wray testifying as we speak right now, the FBI director. And Senator Cruz talking about just the politics of the FBI. So again, you remember, these senators have got FBI agents coming to them saying this is happening inside this agency. So this is not just speculation, which you could come up with looking on the from the outside in. This is people from the inside coming out to the senators saying this is happening. They're pushing us to classify this kind of crime as domestic violent extremism when it's not. This is, they are pushing out people with conservative political views, which, again, think about the steps they're taking to even do that. But take a listen to Ted Cruz.
Director Wray, I'm deeply concerned that the FBI and the Department of Justice have become thoroughly politicized. I think this is a problem that began during the Obama administration. I think it metastasized with career officials during the Trump administration, and I think it continues and is even worse today under the Biden administration. I don't believe you personally reflect that politicization, but I think you've been unwilling to root it out and unwilling to hold people accountable for the politicization. I hear regularly from FBI agents and from professionals at the Department of Justice who are dismayed that our law enforcement has been weaponized and politicized rather than remaining apolitical as it has been for the history of our country.
I want to go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And I think where Ted Cruz points out the biggest issue, and we see this time and time again directly at the ACLJ, is that it's not all political appointees. The FBI's only got a couple of those. But the bureaucracy has become weaponized. The career officials, the ones who have remained inside, who have made this their career, are reflecting their political viewpoints directly, and they're putting it in place inside the agency. Let's go back to the phones. Mike in Maine on line two. Hey, Mike.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I thoroughly agree with what you just said and Ted Cruz's statement, and that's what terrified me. You know, it is terrifying. There's not an objective person who can look at what's happened in the last 10 years and say that the decisions and the directives being made on the fifth floor, where first Comey was, now Wray is, where Strzok was, you know, McCabe was, all of those decisions aren't politically based and aren't going one way.
Well, the fact that Andy McCabe is a CNN contributor, this is a guy who was put out of the FBI, fired, which you hardly ever see, because of the decision-making he was doing, because of the politics that he let in to his decision-making process. He's fired, but he's elevated by the mainstream media as somehow a martyr inside these agencies. I think that's where Ted Cruz is looking at. I mean, if Andy, a few more of these people start losing their jobs, losing their pensions, and maybe even being punished legally, I think that that's how you root out the problem. But that is not the case. And under the Trump administration, we saw what happens when you even try to touch these guys.
Yeah, you get bitten if you try to touch them. You get swiped back because they're so entrenched and they've been there for so long and they're immovable. But I think Senator Cruz's statement is really right on. It has become thoroughly politicized, the FBI, and it's going to take a lot of rooting out. I don't mean suppression. I don't mean taming. I mean rooting out in order for this thing to straighten itself up.
I mean, they can figure out every single person who was at January 6th who violated the law, trespassing, breaking the law, that's involved in that. They can't figure out who firebombed an abortion clinic in a town in Tennessee. The network of people that organized that. I mean, that's what makes it clear where their priorities are. And their priorities are to push, how do we push a political narrative with law enforcement? 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. Do you trust these agencies anymore? Do you think that they can be fixed? Or are they beyond repair? 1-800-684-3110. Now, I want to continue on in what's happening in this hearing. So he's got the question about the attacks on pro-life pregnancy centers. And again, this idea, okay, it's one thing to acknowledge them, which the news does that, but where is the federal law enforcement? He says there's investigations. Why are we not seeing anybody being apprehended? I mean, this is not, again, shouldn't be treated like a massive, this is not some massive crime, organized crime ring. We're talking probably activists who are taking steps of illegal violent acts. And whether they're threatening them, whether they're carrying them out, This should not be so difficult to put some of these people behind bars to deter others. So you know, you can't just go vandalize a pro-life pregnancy. You can't just go firebomb one and you're not going to be charged with federal crimes, state crimes, local crimes. So it sends a clear message to people. You do this, this is what happens to you. But we're not seeing that in the FBI. Now, we also got questions on the border. Not because, again, it's about who else is coming through the border that would then impact FBI decisions. So the first question for Christopher Ray gets on this is from Senator Cornyn about border security. And is our border secure? Take a listen.
From your vantage point and your opinion, is the border secure?
I guess I'm hesitant to substitute my judgment for the Secretary of Homeland Security. All I can say is, they got a heck of a challenge, and I admire their grit and their determination to get the job done, because it's a daunting one.
He acts like he has no role in this, Andy. But the FBI, when you've got, we're going to play terrorists, people on terror watch lists, they are involved. It's not all just CBP who's frontline. Their job is to go after these guys and investigate and bring them to justice.
The director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, okay, is not just some low-level government employee. Is asked a question by a United States senator, is the border secure? And he can't answer or won't answer that question and says, well, I leave that to Mayorkas and all the job that they're doing. What are you talking about? You can't respond to that question? What are you there for? You can't answer the reality? Go down there and look and see. And the answer is, no, it's not secure. You don't have to depend on what Mayorkas says or what Biden says or what Kamala Harris says. You know it's not. Be a man enough to say that it's not. Be the director of the FBI and say that it's not. And face it and do something about it to the extent that it's within your power. And it is within your power to prosecute the criminals who are permeating the border. But don't give me a response like, well, I don't know, that's a daunting task, I can't answer it. How ridiculous is that?
Now, even the tone, like he has nothing to do with it. Trying to play it off like the FBI has no role if there's people on terror watch lists coming over the border or drug cartels. They are playing the main role in that, especially once the people have crossed over. It's not the Customs and Border Patrol agents once they're inside the country. It is ICE working alongside the FBI, but specifically to the major threats, not just the folks coming through, but we're talking about the criminals coming through, the known terrorists, the known cartel leaders, the known bad actors. the FBI should be playing a center role. I want to go back to the phones. Jerry in Rhode Island online four. Hey, Jerry.
Hello, team. Mr. Economo sounds like he stood shoulder to shoulder in the trenches with FBI from various stages of investigation. Curious to what he thinks his retired friends or senior friends from FBI, do they have suggestions on what can be done to realistically fix it beyond whistleblower or IG?
Well, I've talked to them, and they're disappointed because it's not the FBI that they remember, Jerry. It's not the FBI that they recall. It's not the FBI that they were dedicated in their life service to do. I worked with FBI agents. We're fantastic. We never once talked politics. We never talked woke. We never talked right-wing or left-wing. We talked about crimes and criminals and doing something about it, and that's not what the case is today. Yes, they're disappointed. I can tell you that.
Yeah, it is very similar to COVID. I think it's just with all the gee whiz golly talk. Like, come on. You're the head of the FBI. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, that's a question. I mean, they just step down. You know, I think it's always been too much for Christopher Wray. I don't know who's going to be knocking on my door in the morning for saying that, but it's always been too much for him. He's never had a grasp. Whether it was the post-Comey era, it was not an easy time to come in. I'll give him that in the post-Comey era. But he has never seemed to have the grasp. And that, oh boy, kind of response. Like, he's never heard a question before a Senate panel. These are not difficult questions. These are, like, the most simple questions. And he could get into all different things about what they're doing about the border, what they're doing about these people. But no, instead it's, he acts like a little kid under pressure. 1-800-684-3110 to join us on the broadcast. But it is getting worse because this is not a joke. If the FBI is totally focused on politics, then what about the terrorists coming through the border? Senator Hawley, again, about the number of people on the terror watch list in the last fiscal year that they know. These are people they know have come through the border illegally. Take a listen.
A whistleblower has now come forward to Senator Johnson and myself and alleged that the situation is actually far graver than that. According to this whistleblower's allegations, there are 324 individuals who are evacuated from Afghanistan and allowed to enter the United States despite appearing on DOD's biometrically enabled watch list. This is a watch list that identifies folks whose biometrics have been collected and determined to be threats or potential threats to national security, including known suspected terrorists. So this whistleblower says it's a lot more than 50. It's 324. Are you aware of this? Has DOD or DHS communicated this to the FBI?
I don't know that I have the exact number. I know that there are a number of individuals through our Joint Terrorism Task Forces that we are actively trying to investigate as a result of the evacuation.
How many?
Okay. So there we go, Logan, to where the Afghanistan withdrawal has become an issue, which we knew was a mess. And so some of these 300-plus people that got on those planes to come to the U.S., we've already identified. These are people that the federal government has gone through the process over years of dealing with post 9/11 world, and they identified these specific individuals as a terror threat. They got right on those planes, and now they're inside America.
Yeah, during an absolute disaster just around a year ago. I mean, right at a year ago, he said already in America, hundreds of people that were on these terror watch lists. Again, a massive failure. We know that the withdrawal from Afghanistan was one of the biggest blunders and failures in very recent history. And we did a 10-part series on it that's available on our website where we really broke down the entire withdrawal and really the war on terror, what led to that. You know, the goods and the bads, the ups and the downs. You know, we've had a lot throughout. It's been it's a war that we're all kind of conflicted with. There are times where we were very much all together on the same page, especially early on, especially against Al-Qaeda and the Taliban early on. Then that moved to Iraq, and then that moved somehow to 20 years of war, and then a failed withdrawal that just sent us back there, well, less than a week ago, to go after the head of Al-Qaeda. It never quite ended, regardless of what they want to say. They may be able to etch it in on the stone saying, on the Iwo Jima statue saying, this is the end of this war. But we all know, as we've seen, that that's not the case. And it's because of some of those watch lists that we'd be able to create and look at. These wars aren't these short-term things anymore. And we always have people who are moving in inside. And you want to have some trust in them. And you want to believe that what they're doing is for the good of America.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, with the fact is we're in 2022. Al-Qaeda leader gets taken out on his porch, and people say, that's great. What was he doing there? Yeah. But here's what he's doing there. There's while we may have intelligence presence on the ground there, we don't have a uniform presence on the ground in Afghanistan. That's what's going on in Kabul. Imagine what's going on in the hinterlands. Now, with a few thousand troops, you didn't hear about any of this. For a long time, these guys were on the run in their caves, not able to organize attacks on America. Then we saw the threat from ISIS. That was put down as well. But they come right back. They are cockroaches. They keep coming back. And when you stop paying attention, they utilize that opportunity, again, to rear their ugly head. So it's on the one thing, it's wonderful that they were tracking Zawahiri for 6 months and able to take him out. But the fact that a senior Taliban official, part of their government cabinet there, while they're in negotiations with the U.S. to try to get the U.S. to recognize them as an official government and have U.N. recognition, the list goes on and on. And they think this is no problem. I'm going to put this guy in my house. The head of of Al-Qaeda just gives you into a mindset of what you're dealing with. And when you totally just leave, and you leave in a way that is so, again, he talked about it as evacuation. When you could have, you had time to plan this out, figure out, and it wouldn't necessarily that everything would be perfect in Afghanistan, but it didn't have the way it was. And we are starting, I think we talked about how these things take some time. We're now seeing a year later what exactly that this evacuation is going to mean for us in the future. 1-800-684-3110. We have more sound too. There's more coming from this, because even the way he dismissed the amount of different people coming through the border, the idea, it's not just the Hispanic population, it's not primarily just Mexico or the Northern Triangle. 1-800-684-3110. We come back, more from the hearing. All right, welcome back to Secular. 1-800-684-3110. Another exchange, Senator Cornyn with Christopher Wray on the border. Again, he's already at this point act like they don't have any role to play. Like, oh boy, oh my, I wouldn't want to be dealing with that. Except for you're the FBI, you should feel like you are dealing with that. But then the question about the amount of people, just take a listen to this. It's just an interesting line of questioning. And the way that Christopher Wray responds, just downplaying it by 33.
In one sector, the Del Rio sector, they reported encounters from people from 150 plus countries. In other words, it's not just a south of the border issue in terms of Mexico, Central America, and the like. This is an international human smuggling network. Would you agree with me?
I don't have the numbers like it sounds like you do, but I certainly know that it is an eclectic mix of nationalities, and the volume is just staggering.
And that's a public security threat. You agree with me?
To me, it represents a significant security issue and represents a wide array of criminal threats that flow out of it.
Why is it? And Andy, is that because of the politics at play there? He can't even say for the FBI.
I mean,
has to be for him. Like he's not the director of the FBI.
Really? I mean, I'm talking in my individual capacity, but not in my official capacity. I mean, the senator points out something. You say, I agree with you, it's an eclectic mix, like you're in some department store and you're just picking and choosing. And, it represents, he says, a wide range of criminal threats that flow out of it. Well, obviously it does. They're coming from all over the place. They're on your terror watch list. What are you doing? And then you're asked the question by another senator, or there was the same senator, is the border secure? And you can't answer that. Of course the border's not secure. You even admit it's a broken border, that there's terrorist organizations and transnational criminals coming in. Why don't you do something about it, Chris Wray? You're the director of the FBI, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, he continues on with this, because then Senator Cornyn asked about the drug issue problem. So think about the issues he's been asked about, and it acts like he doesn't have a role in. So he acknowledges the violence of pro-life pregnancy centers, says they're doing something, but there's been no public action taken. So again, this is not like they're investigating some massive organized crime, 10-year span. How about find the people who are firebombing these places and arrest them, and arrest the people that helped them. and worked with him and send a message. We're going to publicly come. We're going to file federal charges against you. This is going to be life-altering for the rest of your life. You can't just willy-nilly engage in this kind of violence. But he again, doesn't go there. Then he gets pushed on the problem with the drug problem in the United States and won't even acknowledge who's behind that. So how does he not know? They go there and they act like they know nothing. We know that they have as much info as they need. So it's this game they play with the American people. But if you're an FBI director and you don't know who the biggest problem is with the drugs on the street in the United States, you should quit. You should leave your job. If you can't answer that question, take a listen, because he can't.
Are criminal street gangs the primary distribution network for those illegal drugs that come across the border?
That's certainly, I think anecdotally, I don't know that I have the intelligence assessment in front of me, but I think we would say that criminal street gangs are the vehicle that we interact with the most as distribution mechanisms for drugs that are coming from the cartels and transnational criminal organizations south of the border.
How does he not have the intelligence on that, Andy?
Well, he does have.
I mean, how do you answer that question so direct? We guess that based off news reports. Again, we can all see that it's a lot of drug cartels running through the border. We know that it does emanate. Some of these drugs are made in other countries, and then working with these cartels. But the idea that we can't even acknowledge who the drug dealers are.
Well, he has that information. Don't tell me he doesn't, because I know the FBI has that information. They track that information, but he won't answer the question. He gives anecdotal evidence. You've got actual data on this, Chris Ray. I know you do. Why don't you use it? You know they're being spread by the cartels, and you know that they're coming then into the hands of the street gangs. I'm sitting here in the studio, and I know it, and I'm not on the street, and I'm not on the seventh floor of the FBI building as you are as the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and you can't answer that question? You can only talk about anecdotes?
Yeah, I mean, to me, Logan, I think the end of the day is to take on one of these agencies right now, especially the ones you know are problematic. We saw it, listen, with the Trump administration put in place, that first line of folks was not able to get the job done. A lot of cases, we saw it with the Department of Justice,
oh, yeah.
Jeff Sessions sidelined.
Saw a lot of turnover.
Comey removed, Christopher Wray, who kind of came out of, people knew him from the legal world, but they were taking on massive tasks. I don't think they were up for the job, and they still are there.
Yeah, some are still there. Some are gone. You know, maybe it wasn't so bad that we were in a little bit of chaos going through people, because you had at least trying to get to people who knew what they were doing and could do a good job at it. When this is what happens when you have these kind of appointed positions, stuff can sometimes not end up exactly how you want it.
Yeah. All right. Folks, I think that, you know, what we see from this today is that the only issues when they acknowledge are if it's in the news. So nothing that Christopher Wray is asked about today is something that you couldn't figure out. You don't have to be the FBI director. Certainly, he's got no intel, he says, on the drug crisis in America. So what are they doing? If he's not working on terrorism, he's not working on the criminal street gangs. It's an eclectic mix of people. I mean, this is his response back, that it's an eclectic mix of people. We're talking about an eclectic mix of criminals. And different angles, whether it's the cartels making $13 billion a year off just the human trafficking to people to the border. It's becoming a bigger industry than some of their other nefarious work that they do. So, again, I just think that we don't have even the leadership in place. It's like the Merrick Garland. That guy just gets pushed around by people on Twitter and makes his like DOJ decisions based off what celebrities recommend. And you know, so we see the politics there, and they just all seem like they can't even, like Chris Ray said, he had to couch the, well, from my perspective, not the FBI's, from mine. So obviously they're not. You've got to be really tough, really strong, to take on these jobs. That's true, because it's a mess. It's a disaster. You're having political purges inside law enforcement agencies. So I think what we have to take away from this is you better be extremely vigilant these next couple of months. Don't take any politics for granted. Don't take any elections for granted. Kansas was a reminder of that yesterday. We saw, again, the pro-abortion movement out in full force, but also just the basic politics. There were also the amount of new voters. So these polls that we're relying on from the old way of polling, they're not. It's not the case. We're seeing turnout reaching numbers almost of presidential election years. So I just think can't rely on these institutions to do the right thing. But we got to keep the pressure on. We got to keep the pressure on these folks, not just the days they testify in the Senate, but about all the issues he just shrugged his shoulders on. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. On our website, you find out a lot more about all the work that we're doing at the American Center for Law and Justice, what we can get to on the broadcast, what we don't have time to even get to today on the show. That's at aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.